We just happen to be in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 this morning. I really believe this is the word of the Lord for this time. And I don't think it's any accident God has us right there. When we're led of the Spirit, we shouldn't be surprised when we're led of the Spirit. Anybody hear me? When we're led of the Spirit, it shouldn't be any big surprise that we're led of the Spirit. He knew today was going to be here. He knew that new life was going to be right in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Because of all the things that go on, all the things that are going on right now, we're pressured to kind of perform. But when we realize it's God working in us that does the performance. How about somebody? It's Him working in us that brings us peace. I told somebody I tried really hard to get worried this week, and I just couldn't do it. I just rely on my Father. Come on, someone. We rely on our Father to get us through all this. John said it well when he came up and prayed. You know, we've been through worse. You know, the first century Christians, and even as far back as three generations, when people got saved, they didn't expect to live a cushy life. We have been spoiled as Christians. We expect to live a cushy life that everything's going to be right at our fingertips. For Pete's sakes, we go to the store, toilet paper is going to be there for us. You know, and the three generations ago, people expected to be. Our great-grandparents, when the Pentecostals were Pentecostal, you were on the other side of the tracks, man. Everybody hated you. You were the weird church. Nobody even wanted to be around you. They called you holy rollers and Satanists and all sorts of things. Come on, somebody. And you expected when you got saved you were going to be persecuted. But we don't expect that. Our persecution is, you know, no coffee in the lobby for church. That's the extent of our, come on, someone. But we need to live a life trusting the Father, because this is just the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning of sorrows. We're in it now. We're not going to be there someday. We're in the beginning of sorrows. This is the falling away, the gathering to, the great revival, and the return of Christ. We're there. We're not going to be there. We're there. Did anybody hear me? Amen. 3 weeks ago, a month ago, we'd never thought we'd be here. And although it may get worse there, it's going to get better here. Because God is going to bring the harvest in. And it's out of that. If you look at the history of revival, if you're not a student of revival, you should be. Past revivals have been in the middle of chaos, persecution. And it's not going to be any different. I'd like to tell you it's going to be different, but it's not going to be any different. So we all look at God's Word this morning. This is my Bible. Lift your Bibles up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That is good preaching. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, and it just happens to be that we're right where God wants us to be, as I said. Children may be dismissed. I'm sorry. I didn't do that. They're already doing that because they know I forget those things. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful place to be in God's Word right now. There's some scriptures I want to look at. It should be in the left-hand column of your handout. Jeremiah 32:17, watch what it says. It says, O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Verse 27 says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And when we look at situations in our life, sometimes we think God is perplexed along with us. It's just a natural thing that our mind does sometimes. We go to having God in the boat with us and He sees the problem. God always sees the solution, not the problem. We need His eyes and His ears. When the disciples were, waking Jesus up, fishermen that had been born on the lake, that swam in the lake, that had fishing in the lake, woke Him up and said, Jesus, we perish. Well, you're sailors. You're fishermen. You're out on the lake. This is where you make your living, and you're afraid? As soon as Jesus woke up, He saw the solution, not the problem. What did He do? He stood up, and instead of complaining, He said, Peace be still. See, God always sees the solution, never the problem. But with our eyes, God's in this with us, and God's perplexed as well. See, that is not true. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Man, in his endeavor to explain the immense power of God, posed this question centuries ago. If God is all powerful, can He make an object heavier than Him that He could not lift? What a stupid question. Amen. What a stupid question. There is nothing too impossible for God. He is the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega. When all things here pass away, all things will be burned up, the Scripture says, with fire. He's still going to be here. He's still going to exist as God. He always has been God. Come on, someone. He is not trying to be God. He is God. Jesus merely looked at them and said to them, With men, this is impossible. Then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He spoke to the disciples and to you and I down through the ages, that we could join Him in this impossible realm. Before, we looked longingly, saying, God, how are you able to do? The psalmist says, God, you're all powerful. The psalmist cried out, Oh God, there is nothing too impossible for Thee. And here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, But you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus spoke to them and said that I am including you in My impossible realm. You and I live in the impossible. We're all the time trying to get into the impossible that we can't get it done. But all things are possible with God. All things are possible with you and I. It only takes faith. We need to be reminded and have a proper understanding of the place that God has us. He's not a liar, nor does He exaggerate. God doesn't tell us something that's not true, and He doesn't need to stretch our imagination. My Bible says He does exceedingly abundantly, more than we ever could ask or hope for, according to the power that works in us. Come on, somebody. Nothing hinders His provision, and His plan is victory for us. His plan is victory for us. He has no capability to lie. So we need to watch the words of our mouth now more than ever. Please heed my warning. We must not speak the things that make for defeat. We need to swallow it. We need to hide it. We need to set on top of it that it would never take place out of our mouth, especially now, because the spirit of fear has been placed on this land, and every spirit that comes with it. We must watch the words of our mouth. Fight. Get on your knees. Make sure that you're not joining in with conversation on social media or one-on-one. Talk at work. Talk with your neighbor. Talk with something else. Do not speak the problem. Speak the solution. That's what God is speaking. Peace be still. The words of our mouth. Speak His word with authority because He's given you the authority. Heretofore, before the outpouring of the Spirit, before all of this, it was God in the realm of the impossible saying, "How, God, can you do this? You make water come from a rock. You feed 2.5 million people for 40 years. None of our clothes wore out, nothing." They saw the power of God, but God in Acts 1:8 and forward, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through the visitation of Holy Spirit, causes you and I to walk in that same realm. The realm of the impossible being possible. Speak His word with authority. Speak only what He directs you to. The psalmist said, "God put a guard on my mouth that I might not speak the things that are not from You." We get in conversations, we get ourselves in trouble because we agree with the world. May we never agree with the world again. No matter how official it sounds. Come on, someone. I've had occasion, as you have in your lifetime, I've had occasion to have official-looking people tell me official-sounding things because, after all, they have an education. They've got names in front of their names, you know, titles, Dr. So-and-so. And come on, somebody. Told the story. I had a chiropractor. I had been in a couple accidents. It's when I was in a younger man, about 25, 30 years ago. And I went to a chiropractor who happened to attend my church. He said, "You need to come see me." So I went, saw him, and he took x-rays. And he told me how my neck would fall into my spine if I didn't get treatment twice a week for at least a year. And that when I got my age now in my 60s, I wouldn't be able to walk. And I heard the Lord as clearly as I heard anything. I got up and shook His hand, said, "Thank you very much. I'll never be back again." I left there, and the next day my back felt like it was just reborn. I haven't had a back problem since. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that I heard the solution to trust in God and not the problem. And we need to exercise that in this hour. Because this hour, all kinds of official people. Spent a couple hours listening to different points of view on this COVID-19. Heard some official people with official sounding titles. Then I read the Word. There's no comparison. Because the Word talks about the solution. They talk about the problem. Faith doesn't get rid of the facts. It overcomes the facts. Should we be smart? Yes. Should we be cautious? Yes. Nobody's saying we shouldn't clean our hands and make sure that, you know, if we have a cold, stay home, take care. We should do all of that. That's just common sense. It makes me laugh when the news tells me to wash my hands. I've been washing my hands since I was a little kid. I remember my mother telling me, "Wash your hands." Maybe they haven't. I don't know, but they're telling me to wash my hands for 20 seconds singing "Happy Birthday." I said, "I don't need that. I know how to wash my hands. I know to cover my mouth when I cough." Come on, this is common sense stuff, but it's engaging fear in people. It's amazing the fear I see in people. Yesterday I was out and about around Rochester and I just felt such a pale over the area. It's everybody being so serious. When I get in serious situations, I get all kinds of jokes floating in my head. I just do. I don't know why. It sometimes works against me. I'll go to a funeral and think about jokes. I'm being honest with you. I just do. It's not any slight on anybody. I want to grieve with those who grieve, and But God has the solution. His word in our mouth creates. See, we could change the atmosphere by our faith. Scripture goes on to say, according to the power. What power? Again, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The empowerment was the entrance of Holy Spirit in the lives of His children. Explosive power is ours. It's power that alters destinies. It's power that alters not only individual destiny, but destinies of nations. Destinies of this world. There are billions of people yet to be introduced to Jesus Christ. Our work is not done. We're not waiting at the train station for the return of Christ. Jesus said, pray for laborers to be thrust into the harvest. We would have never known in 2020 with all the prophecies that came. 2020 is going to be a year where the church is going to rise up. And we've got the dandy chance to do so. And we're all grieving because of this. Not all of us, but a lot of the church is going, oh, we thought this was going to be a great year. It is going to be a great year. Prophecies weren't wrong. Now's the time to speak the Word of God. Now's the time to speak the Word of God, to see the solution and not the problem. The solution is the blood of Jesus Christ. The solution is Jesus Christ Himself. The solution is Holy Spirit living inside of us and the power that ensues. Not the power of agreement, although that's powerful, wherever two or three agree is touching any one thing. Not the power of suggestion, it's the power of God residing in you right now. And when you speak, heaven responds. This power is given to you. Anybody there? So you don't have to go borrow it from somebody else. You know. Like you go for a cup of sugar to the neighbors, you know. You don't have to borrow it from somebody else. He lives in you. The power lives in you. Don't look for the problem. Look for the solution. That's where God's at. God's in the solution. He's not in the problem. That power works in us. The power that He purposed for us works every time. How many times does it work? It works every time. If it isn't working, the problem is not with God. Problem is not with the Holy Spirit. Problem is not even with the devil. Problem is with us. Problem is with us. Because God, it works every time. It's not one of those things that, you know, breaks down. How many's ever had an appliance you bought, it has a year guarantee, and 366 days later it breaks? You know, Terry and I bought a Hoover vacuum cleaner when we were first married. It lasted for 20 years. Through pets, through kids. Come on, somebody. Lasted for 20 years, and then it gave up the ghost. And we bought another Hoover, just like it. Lasted 2 years. Lasted 2 years. A lot of the parts that were metal back 20 years before that are now plastic. Come on, somebody. And it did lasted 2 years. And the warranty on it was just under 2 years. Come on, somebody. God's Word always works. God's Word doesn't have downtimes. God's Word, God's promises, God's solutions aren't just for the good times. It's for every time. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Father's Word will never pass away. Isaiah says, I will send my Word out and it will do what it was sent to do. It will not return to me void. God's Word works every time. He is working through the words that we speak. The Scripture says that it works in us. God uses us, His children, not circumstances or areas. One area is not better than another area. He works through us. We have lived so long in the lies of men and women that tried to take our faith away by saying if you're in a certain spot or in a certain area, God is greater there than he is in one other place. Come on, somebody. How ridiculous can you get? I was at a meeting several years ago with a guy that said, you know, he got ready to pray, preached this message that embarrassed me. And if I mentioned who he was, you'd all know him, or some of you. But he said, if I remember right, the last time I prayed, the first 45 seconds were stronger than the rest. So the quicker you get up here, the quicker God's going to touch you. What do you think people did? They just rammed the stage and I wept. I got on my knees and wept. God, you mean your power only lasts for 45 seconds? How ridiculous is that? God is powerful all the time. See, God has a solution all the time. And it's in this hour that we've got to pray against those that would take advantage in the body of Christ or in the where they say they're in the body of Christ to lead people astray. We've got to keep our eyes on him. He uses us. We are recipients and we are channels of the power of God. We not only receive the power, but God works through us with the power of the dunamis. That power that came upon those 120 in the upper room is the same power that came on you when you asked Holy Spirit to come in your life. And without us on this earth, that power would not function. Are you there? God is not using his power from heaven, shooting lightning bolts from heaven to heal the land. He's using you and I. He uses people. He doesn't use objects. He doesn't use areas. He doesn't use the heavens or clouds or trees. Although he could. Come on, someone. And it's ridiculous. Some of the things that are happening. And being exposed. I thank God they were being exposed before this all happened. There was a Bible that bled oil down in Georgia. Anybody hear about it? Made oil. And they put it in a big, like a plastic thing. And they said it kept making oil. And they were putting little oil vials and giving it to people. And people came from all over the place. They swore they could see this thing growing oil. Well, they found out the leader of the church was going down to the farm store and buying mineral oil and pouring it in there. It was fake from the beginning. Come on, somebody. We need to know that God is in the solution and his word is performed through us with power and anointing and it changes things. The truth runs from us because we mix all those stories and stuff with unbelief and faith. If you mix unbelief with faith, it will fail you. We must exercise our faith in this hour. If God is the God of the impossible, and my word says he is. Come on. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I don't know about you, but you spend any time with God and God says, activate, get busy, go talk to somebody about the Lord. Stop hoping that they get it by osmosis. Oh God, if they see me praying over my meal, they'll get convicted and get saved. Man, open your mouth. Talk to somebody. This is an excellent time to do that. You have every excuse in the world is gone now because people are talking. I don't care where you go. What's the first conversation you're going to have with anybody today and this week? Coronavirus. It's everywhere. And that's an excellent time to say, hey, do you know, what about coronavirus? If it gets you and you die, where are you going? It's an excellent time to tell somebody, man, if it gets you, or I hope you're going to be okay, you're going to heaven. Do you know you're going to heaven? No, I'm not sure. I don't even know if I believe it. Man, you better get it right. Come on, somebody. It's an excellent time to talk the solution and not the problem. Because everybody else is talking the problem. Let's talk about the solution. He's able to exceedingly abundantly do more than we could ask or hope for. Scripture says, to him be glory in the church. If you're looking for the glory of God, it is in his ecclesia. It's in his church. God's glory is not somewhere floating around. It's not some energy field that moves from church to church and area to area. The energy field is you. Not coming from some faraway place to linger in a meeting. That glory follows us and is in us. When you look for the glory of God, you look at you. Oh, well, we need to go to this meeting because the glory of God moves through this man or this woman. Yes, I get that. I get that there's sometimes people, but the glory of God moves in you. If God moves in somebody else over you, he's not fair, he's not equitable. He'll pour his spirit upon all flesh, my Bible says. And this is the hour for that. God always sees the solution, not the problem. He receives all the honor. It's his lordship. You know what? He fights for us. The victory is always his. We give him the glory. He is the center. He's the focus. He's the king. And he's the high priest. And the sooner we remember that, the sooner we'll walk in consistent victory. Everything revolves and flows out from Christ. It's not me. I have to constantly remember, no matter where God uses me, how God uses me, that without him, I can do zero. I can't do anything without him. Let me repeat that. I can't do anything without him. People say, well, come to this meeting and I'll heal you. You couldn't heal a flat tire. Without God, you couldn't do it. So stop this promoting yourself. Let's promote Christ. It's Christ in us. As I said before, Christians three generations ago expected persecution. They expected things. It just went along. First century Christians expected to die for their faith. Many did. Fed to the lions. Crucified. They got saved anyway. You say, well, that was then. This is modern. People don't kill people. There's been more people die in this first 20 years of this century, this millennia, than all the years before. Somebody said, well, that'll never happen in America. How do you know? Disciples were out on the lake and they were expecting a storm to come up. Storm came up. My Bible says, build your house on a rock, and when the winds come and when the storms come, it doesn't say if, it says when. We live in a sinful world. Persecution may come sooner than you and I think. But that notwithstanding, God sees the solution. He helps us to live above all that. He's the center. He's the focus. Our attention is to the author and the finisher. He's the one who created, planned, and watches over your life. And you better believe he'll complete his work. He's not taken by, you know, Godhead didn't get together, convene this week and say, now the coronavirus is here, we've got to change our plans. Holy Spirit says, God, what are we going to do? I mean, people are all fearful and things are falling apart. Economies crashed. Stock markets crashed, for Pete's sakes. How are we going to get the word out? God sees the solution. There are more people crying out to God than ever before in the last 30 years. I can guarantee you people are crying out to God who never spoke to God for years. God, help us. God has a plan. He has a solution. He's the author and the finisher. I am the Lord, Isaiah 42:8 says. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. except big churches in large places. He's not going to give His glory to anybody. His glory is His. He's the King. His word is final. There's no private interpretation. What the Word of God says, it says. His judgments are righteous. If the Bible says every homosexual, liar, adulterer will not have their place in the kingdom of God, they'll not have their place in the kingdom of God. His mercy is pure. His mercy is above His law. Many people today that are crying out to God, God said, of course I'll forgive you. Of course I'll make you a son and daughter of mine. Of course, all you need to do is cry out. And He's the high priest of our faith. And I wouldn't want to have anybody else interceding for me. Because He knows me through and through, and yet He still takes my case before the Father and says, not guilty. Wow. Can you imagine if Jesus said, I'm going to treat you according to your weaknesses? Am I the only one that's ever experienced God's pavilion, His covering, His mercy, His grace? Oh God, thank you for your mercy. This promise is to all generations. This thing didn't run out in 1950. Didn't run out this week when this problem came forward. Again, I can't encourage you enough. Watch the words of your mouth. Watch what you speak, even in jest. Because the enemy is out to take this land. He's out to take this nation. We're the last free bastion of freedom on this planet. Yet, we're just about ready to see martial law everywhere. We need to pray against that. My son and daughter-in-law live up in New York. Town right next to them, New Rochelle, is now taken over by military. It's a mile and a half radius where everybody there has to stay in their home, can only go out by permission, and they can't travel beyond those boundaries. You say, well, that's good to protect, but how many know there are lots of things wrong with that? You say, well, that can't happen everywhere else. We live in a fallen world. And there are people that would like to take advantage of this to their own ends. We need to pray for the young people. The young people have been sold a bill of goods to the extent that a large percentage of them want socialism to come to this nation. They like the idea of everything being handed to them. I guess they failed math because they can't find out where free health care to the tune of, in the next decade, $27 trillion, who's going to get the money? How is that going to happen? Just print it, right? We need to pray for the young people. The young people have not heard the gospel message clearly. They've heard the gospel of socialism and communism. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to pray for them. And pray for them fervently. My children and grandchildren have learned so many different things. When I talk to them about what they're learning in school, it's shocking to me. Sit down and talk to your grandchildren, your children, and find out what they're learning in school. It's social adjustment, not reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's scary. We need to believe for a revolution of faith again. Fear right now is the overpowering force. It's been unleashed on our land. The enemy has released fear. Faith fights fear and will always win. And we need to speak faith to people. We must be the strong ones right now. We've got to be the strong ones right now. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. To all generations. We must be strong in the power of His might. We must be. We don't have a choice. We can't hand this responsibility off to someone else. There is no one else. And if we hand it off to the religious system, we already know what they'll do. They'll water down the word so much that the churches will grow, but what will they have? You could do anything and live any way and still come on. You can be a Christian and live the way you want to. We need to pray and continue to pray. We must be the strong ones right now. Reach down inside yourself and allow God to speak through you. This is our battle cry. Right now, this is our battle cry. We have the complete answer. We have the solution. It's not braggadocious. We're not saying we have the solution because we know more than anybody else. I know less than most people. But I know God. And I know He knows it all. In the throne room of God, I don't see a library. Come on, somebody. God's not reading books. He is the book. You and I are commanded to go and make disciples. That's what we need to do. My friend James will tell you, people are hungry. If you'll just take the time to talk to them, they want to know about God. They don't want to know about the God they hear for 5 minutes on the local TV program on Sunday morning. They want to hear the God that's going to take care of the problem that they're facing. We're in an economic crisis. Come on, somebody, right now. People want to hear a solution. Say, how do we believe God for the impossible? Somebody give me an example of believing God for the impossible.
Spend time with him.
Have faith. How do we believe God for the impossible?
Declare Scripture.
Declare Scripture. The world right now is facing an impossible situation. What do we say to calm the fears of the world?
Look what He's brought you through already.
Yeah.
Look at David. Look at David when he went out against the Philistines. He goes, has God not delivered me from the paw of the bear, from the paw of the lion? Mm-hmm. Surely He will deliver me from the circus.
Remember?
Philistine.
Remember?
Just trust in Him. Let people know that God has not given us the spirit of fear.
That's right.
Our loving Son.
And the unbeliever is looking. Trust me, they're looking right now.
There are.
And we've got to have an answer that's palpable. We have to have an answer that's real, not some religious statement. Come on, somebody. We've got to talk to where they live. God is able. How does the power of God work through you? Somebody give me an example about the power of God working through you.
Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, so you lay hands on the sick and they recover.
Does that work for you?
Lots of times.
A lot of times. And who does that, you or God?
God through us.
God.
Seeing is believing. What are they looking at?
Peace that passes understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it comes by faith. I know it comes by faith, but if you don't know who Jesus is, you don't have any faith. But if they see, then they believe.
Yeah. We need to hold our heads together.
Faith first.
Is faith difficult?
No.
Come on, let's be honest. Is faith difficult?
Can be.
Better believe it is. Faith isn't easy. It rolls off our tongue really good.
Right.
You know, I'm a man of faith. How are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, are you? Faith is difficult. Faith is believing the invisible and the impossible.
I think faith depends on a lot on where your relationship with the Lord is, yes. How close you are to Him at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're close, it ain't so hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How do you see Jesus working today? What's He doing? What are you seeing in your neighborhood or in your life? How's Jesus working right now?
Still here.
What's He doing in your life? How are you seeing Him working right now in your life? Somebody said it earlier, peace, right? We got peace.
But this is just a real life scenario, you know, that I listened to the Holy Spirit on when to go to the grocery store and the gas station and Big R and everything and Walmart. And you know what? I didn't have a problem finding anything but bananas, but you know, I had no waiting lines or anything, so I could just really tell Friday when, in this whole past week, God working in my life, you know, showing me when and where and how to do things.
I think for me is that knowing some of the people that I work with, including in my own house, they go through some health issues, but yet I ain't seen the coronavirus do anything to them. So, I mean, Rosie deals with the diabetic thing every day, and her faith, she stands on what the Word of God says, and they see that. And many times at work, the ambulance had to come and get Rosie. But Rosie gets to say to them, you know, well, look what He's brought me through, you know, and I ain't concerned about the coronavirus. The enemy wanted to take me out. He done did that. Mm-hmm. So what's your concern? You know, so using that, as you said, now is the time. So they need to see, not just hear. You know, so far as faith and Christ working in us is what He's done with her, you know.
Not be sin checking.
Talk about faith. You know, the Bible says each one of us has given us a measure of faith.
A measure of it.
Not
yeah.
More. Not, you didn't get more than I got. But it's just like a muscle. If the more we use that, the strength, the stronger it's going to be. So if I know that God give me the faith, you know, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and I don't do it, people aren't going to recover because I'm not doing it. Well, what about the people that are being prayed for? What about Amy? She's praying for everybody. She's seeing all these healings. That's happening because the more and more people she's praying for, her faith is getting
spreading.
So it's not about, well, they're doing this. We all have the power. We all have the authority, but we all have to do it. That's what it's all about. It's just like a muscle. We have to use that faith. The more and more we use it, the stronger it's going to be for every single one of us. Where it's not even going to be, oh, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to do it because I know what His Word says. And I've seen hundreds of people healed. So this person here is going to be healed too. It's not about me. It's about what God told every single one of us to do. So use your faith. Every time you guys use it, the stronger it's going to be for every single one of us.
A mustard seed turns into a tree. I mean, it starts with the seed, and it gets huge. So I hear what James is saying. It's got to be activated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Talking about, he said something about muscle. I recently saw a thing on TV. I do watch TV. Anyhow, this man, he saw a child get run over by a car. And this car, they said, weighed approximately 3,000 pounds. He went up, grabbed a hold of the front end of that car, and lifted it up. Mm-hmm. Engine and all, lifted it up long enough for them to get that child out of there.
Right.
And he said it was not that he was strong. His mind was on getting that child out of there. He didn't think about how much that thing weighed. He just grabbed a hold of it so they could get that child out. So if we're not using our faith, if we're not reaching out and doing what God wants us to do with it, you know, you gotta flex that muscle.
Not gonna grow.
That faith.
Yeah. use it.
Yeah, I'm still walking around here too. 20 years.
You are the example, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what's it going to take to win this next generation? What are you going to take to get their attention?
Get off our duff.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. What's it going to take to get this generation?
Prayer.
Prayer? Definitely prayer. What else?
Get rid of the lazy virus.
Lazy virus.
They got to see Jesus in us.
That's it.
Yeah. See Jesus.
What else? Love them. Come on, somebody. Hey, how about this? Signs, wonders, and miracles. I'll say it again. Disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, are you the one or should we look for another? He said, you go back and tell John, because John said to him, he said, go back and tell John I was born of a virgin. You go back and tell John I came from the tribe of Judah. You go back and tell John I was born at Bethlehem. He didn't tell him any of that.
No.
Are you the one or should we look for another? He said, just hang on. He went and healed all kinds of people. Came back and said, now you go tell John what you saw. Dead are raised, sick are healed, the blind are see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. Come on, somebody. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Not the sideshow, not the Coliseum meeting where they're selling tapes and it's in Kroger, it's in your next door, it's in your home, it's in your living room, it's out at school, it's out somewhere where you begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles, and it is the dinner bell for the lost. Believe God, man, there are going to be stories in the next couple of months of people dying of coronavirus, getting up and walking out of hospitals. I believe that with all my heart. God's got the solution. He's not looking at the problem. Father, I thank you today. I thank you today, God, that you are a God of solutions. Thank you today, Lord, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever hope or ask for, God. Lord, you're a limitless God. You have a limitless supply of power. God, you're not running low on anything. You're not out of anything, God. You're dwelling in us and using us as we yield to your Spirit. So God, I pray for everyone here today. Lord, I pray that this week we would go forth with faith, seeing solutions and not problems, seeing that you're on the throne, seeing that you are working through us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we'll not forget to give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.